And we're back. 80s, 90s, 2000s vibes, the podcast as usual. I'm your host, Matt Corbin, with the fellas, Jamal Leboy. What's going on, fellas? How y'all feeling this week? Talk to me.
Yo,
Hey,
what's happening?
man, I'm feeling good, man. Trying to stay productive out here and just keep things moving. What's up with y'all, man?
Man, another day in the life of being black, kind of dangerous, but I dig it. How y'all, man?
Man,
Can't complain.
my mind clear right now. They took my stizzy at Disneyland. I'm sober as hell. No. I'm focused now.
I'm
Usually I'll be
focused,
a little bit
man.
relaxed, but hey, I'm on, as you can tell. I'm on my P's and Q's today. Let's go.
They gave you an
Let's
Adderall in
get
your
it.
back pocket. You just ain't see it. They was like, you don't need this. This will help you.
Yeah, I mean, I just do the CBD anyway. So if you do see me on camera taking a look, it ain't really nothing. I'll be doing the CBD. But yeah, I had my wallet's kind of a little pouch. I usually keep it in there, and they told me to unzip the wallet. I'm like, what? You checking wallets now? They was like, that shit is a pouch. Unzip that shit. I was like, damn. As soon as I opened it, we don't allow that. I'm like, damn.
Man, come
I
on,
tried to
man.
plead my
Say,
case.
my
this
thing,
is a little
Disney, if
razzle
you'll sell it in
dazzle.
the park, you gotta let me bring mine in. That's all I'm saying.
Real
But if y'all got a spot,
though.
Magic
I mean,
Kingdom.
I got an edible
There
waiting for me after we done recording, So
you go. There you go. Gotta
with
keep that
that though,
money
man,
right.
let's get into it. What we
Oh,
on
you
this
know what?
week,
Wait,
man?
wait, 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 wait. Before we get into it, let me tell you about something that irritates me. And if you guys don't know, this segment is based on my character from Nickelodeon's All That, Leroy and Fuzz. Go check out some of those old episodes. But right now, I'm irritated. I am irritated because I am so tired of these movies with these unrealistic action stars. Now, we just watched Kevin Hart go crazy and lift. They try to do the whole Ocean's 11 thing. Ain't no way he whipping anybody ass. I'd be tired of seeing him whip ass. His little 5'2" self. It ain't happening. But what really got me to this rant level, I just watched Beekeeper. And I like my guy Statham. Jason Statham, right? That's his name. Dude be going off. He's a decent little action star. But every time, look, he ain't got no gun. He never discharged any weapons in the movie. And every time the FBI be looking at him, they got a gun just pointed at him. Let the motherfucker go, man. Let it go. Why do you wait until you get close? You pulling the Steven Seagal moves where he disarm you, take the gun, shoot it at you. It's like, come on, man. As soon as you see the guy, let that shit off. Now, there is a couple movies that I do like. I like The Bourne Identity. That's one guy that take over the whole thing. If you ever seen Shooter, everybody that's seen Shooter loves Shooter. I love that movie. So there are certain ones where one guy could take over the whole world, but I am just not feeling Beekeeper and Kevin Hart taking over movies and being an action star. Get that shit out of here, man. So like I was saying, I don't like unrealistic action films. This is the 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibes podcast. I'm Lee Boy. Have a nice day. Let's go. But one movie I did like, I don't know if you guys saw Underdog, Snoop Dogg, right now on Prime Video. Definitely an adult movie. Go check it out. A little bit salacious to have these little kids in there smoking weed and talking about penises and shit. But yeah, it was good though.
That's
Funny.
realistic, though. You just say you hate unrealistic. That's what these kids are on. So I'm not mad at that.
No,
But
I wasn't mad. It
yeah,
was
I see.
definitely realistic to some hood kids. So I wasn't mad at that. It was just kind of Snoop's brand when what he's doing with the flag football and the charges. It just seemed a little bit iffy to me, but that's always been him. So
I was
he
just
can
about to
do
say, I
whatever
feel
he
like
wants.
Snoop Dogg is the one person who could sell crack and come speak at your church in the same week, and nobody, you
That's
know what I mean?
facts.
Like nobody have a problem.
He like the modern day Bill Cosby now without the raping. I'm not talking about that. But
Yeah,
y'all know what I mean. Before Bill Cosby, everybody knew Bill Cosby was a monster and how he had this persona as America's dad. That's pretty much Snoop. I seen the clip where they was pissing in his pool, bro. I gotta check that out, bro. Shout out to
yeah.
Uncle Snoop, bro.
And that was right after they drank beers. These are like 10-year-olds. They all got into the beer, the beer stash. And I'm like, is this promoting beer drinking to kids? Like, I don't know, man. This is on the fence.
I
This
just
is
want to
on the
say
fence.
Red Bull was out there once upon a time when I was in middle school, and I didn't need those neither. But hey, we was in seventh grade playing flag football off Red Bull. Good time.
Yeah,
Nah, we was on
it
that.
wasn't Bud Light
We were
though.
sipping on crunk juice. We were sipping on that crunk juice. Remember that? That
Was
shit ain't
long
running.
South, man. What?
this shit ain't work, man. I begged my mom for some crunk. Man, let me get some crunk juice, man. She was like, what? I was like, crunk juice, dog. She's a little John. She's like, boy, man, that shit don't work. Yeah, dog.
And you know what it is now? Have you guys seen the primes? The kids be stuck on them damn primes, bro.
Oh, they in love with them things.
Those is not. I love them, but those ain't for kids. I ain't gonna get into that. But please do not give those to your kid under 10.
Hell,
they work.
Nah.
They really do work though. They really do.
Them primes for grown
men in heart, yes. For a kid, they might be on their way out before fifth grade. Don't do.
Oh man, that's like the swag now. Go ahead.
Man, I was gonna say, speaking of fifth grade, I want to dive into something that the streets are saying is pretty childish, fellas. Nicki Minaj and Meg Thee Stallion. Now, to those who are listening, what's going on? You got pretty much Meg Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj. They've been going back and forth trading words for a while, and now they decided to finally do it on wax. So you got Hiss by Meg Thee Stallion, and then you have, excuse me, Bigfoot by Nicki Minaj. And fans are saying that, you know, Nicki took it too far, talking about, you know, Meg Thee Stallion's dead mother, and now they're saying that people are getting doxxed. They didn't dox Nicki Minaj's father where his gravesite is. So, fellas, one, what did you think of both? This is on both sides. And two, do you think this is going too far? Do you think this is not good for rap anymore? What's your take on the whole situation?
Man, as y'all know, bro, every episode, every other episode, bro, it feel like I come on here and say, Nicki, man, you already the GOAT. Relax. Mm-hmm. You doing too much, bro. And I'm a little biased, man, because I'm not from Houston, but Houston has become my second home. And Meg from Houston. So I will say that. Nicki, that was too far, bro. Talking about a dead mama. That was kind of, I'm gonna keep it a stack. That was whack as fuck. That's when I see you was on site energy, my nigga. Like, you wrong for that, dog. And Meg, in Meg's song, she didn't really say no names, but I guess she said hit dogs holler. Look, man, that ain't hip-hop, man. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. That's not hip-hop. Talking about nobody dead mama, bro. This is not a real beef. This is an industry fucking beef. Nah, Ja Rule with 50 Cent, that's not an industry beef. People don't realize that shit, bro. That's a real beef that they just so happen to be in the industry. Now, if them two say some shit like that about each other, bro, I wouldn't be surprised because they've been beefing for over, what, almost 30 years, almost 25 years?
Ridiculous, yeah.
Bro, so I expect the type of energy from that type of beef. This is not that. Talking about people are dead mama, bro. Nah, Nicki, bro, you the legend, you the GOAT. You wrong for that shit. You were wrong. Straight up.
Yeah, and she's right now. There are petitions to get her removed and canceled, removed from all social media. I mean, and somewhat warrants. I don't think that she should actually be removed, but I understand the movement for people, you know, looking to boycott her and get her canceled because, as you said, it's just too far, man. It's just too far. That's really hurting somebody to the core. I mean, everybody got a mama. Everybody knows that feeling or will experience that feeling, or maybe not. You may pass away before your parents. That would be terrible. But, you know, if who wants to see their mama go? And then to just, you know, put salt on the wound that way after, and this is somewhat recent for her. It's just not a good look how bitter and how petty she looks. But her last name is Petty. Now, the thing is, though, with the whole Megan's Law, right, she is kind of bringing up with her husband and also her brother, right? So she, and this is all in connection with, like, statutory rape type stuff, right?
That's what Megan's Law is about. The girl's dad, who's named after Megan, Megan's Law, looking at Sue Meg Thee Stallion over that.
I was going to mention that, and I was going to say, I think Suen is taking it too far, but I guess, you know, for him, I can see why, yeah, as the father of the young girl who it was made at, you could take offense to it, but I think the Suen, that's just coming from everybody online telling you to sue. I don't think that's, no, because if that's the case, we're going to have to comb through a lot of old lyrics, you know what I mean? Oh, right. This one said this about this, like, but Jamal, I was going to say, to your point, I think the biggest issue here is, I wish I knew more about behind the scenes, because like I said, talking about somebody's dead mother, I think, is too much. But just Pusha T, I'll never forget. He mentioned, I think his name is Noah, one of Drake's mans within OVO that has, like, some condition. He's, like, pretty much talking about 40, his doctor.
Yep.
Yeah, 40 in, and people didn't really have an issue with it, but Pusha T has went into interviews and, you know, went in depth to say, like, no, you know, a lot of stuff that happened behind the scenes, like, I'm not even allowed in Canada, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like, yeah, Nicki, if you're going to come like this and say something so, you know, left field like that, you better have a good reason. Because, yeah, Jamal, I'm kind of with you. It's like, yeah, to the, me, it's past rapping. I'm throwing hands next time I see you getting punched in your face. Like, it's quiet for any I'm sorry or anything like that, so.
Well, no, that's big slime. You ain't gonna punch on Nicki now. She a full blown gangster.
I saw that video of Nicki boxing. I was not impressed. I think NBA YoungBoy's son is better. Just saying,
man. I'm never forgiving you over for some shit like this. Like, we can never be cool ever.
But compare the distance.
We 50 Cent, Ja Rule beef, nah.
Compare the distance. Nicki Minaj got on her ass. Like, take out those two lines that where she crossed the line a little bit. Other than that, I feel like Nicki clearly won this year. She had a very unorthodox flow, which I appreciated. She had some double entendres, and she had a couple, you know, she had some heavy hitters, including, you know, the line that we've been talking about. And I really think it eclipsed what Megan did. And, you know, Megan came with that same flow, the, I don't know, I ain't going to do it. But we heard what Nicki Minaj said about the flow with Pimp C, Bun B. That shit was hilarious. That shit was hilarious, man. I think overall, Nicki did not need those extra, that extra oomph to win this. She could have won it clearly just with the song and the battle. But why are they, I mean, yeah, I want to know the origin of this beef, because just not too long ago, what song did they collab on? Was it Hot Girl Summer? One of those, right? The remix?
Yeah, it was Hot Girl Summer, yeah.
Yeah, man, now she calling her books. She talking about her, not only her dead mama, but also mocking her getting shot and saying that she a bullet fragments in your, but yeah, bullet fragments is not quite getting shot, but you still got shot. You still got assaulted at least by a gun. I don't see, man, that. I don't really think that's funny either, personally.
I blame Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown for all this shit. I don't know how, I just do.
I was like, where's he going with this? I'm waiting there. I want to hear more.
Because, bro, that's where it started from. That's where all this shit, female rap started from.
Was, man, Lil' Kim, she was on Ladies Night, right? But Foxy Brown wasn't on Ladies Night?
Yeah. That was Lil' Kim joint. Man, bro. And what's sad about Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown, they started off very cool. Yeah. And it's to the point where they haven't spoken. They probably hadn't spoken in 20 years, probably, bro. That shit, this shit, it's just hip-hop, dog. It's just rap. It's just hip-hop. They need to come out with a new series. Remember that beef series they had in the early 2000s on BET?
Mm-hmm.
They need to bring that back, bro. Cause god damn, nah, fam. When I see, man, we can never be friends. We can never be cool. I'm your op 280. That you went too far. They got security at Meg Stallion's mother's gravesite. Man, it's not.
Too, because yeah, people doxing. But Jamal, I do want to know your take. Who's this record was better?
I don't really care.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Man. Everybody knows Nicki is the best rapper out of all the women ever, bro.
That's my take.
So, but that's my whole point. That's why I'm always annoyed with Nicki, bro. Like, what are you doing? I mean, maybe it's something we don't know. Maybe it's industry shit. But as far as the other shit, I don't know that. I'm from the outside looking in. You are the best. You've been the best for a long time. What the fuck is the problem? Go ahead.
And it's not like, okay, we don't, like we said, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but her and Meg have collabed, her and Cardi have collabed. Lotto came out and said she wanted to work with Nicki. She working with Ice Spice. So it's like, it's not like any of these people are trying to blackball you or ostracize you in any way. They are looking to be embraced, and she is actively saying, fuck all y'all bitches. And literally, this is the hell out of them. I would at this point, especially with her being a woman, I don't want to have a double standard, but it's just not ladylike to take this route. I would like to see the ladies get together and have some type of camaraderie, man, because there's so much money to be made out here. Everybody's doing well. There's no reason to tear each other down, especially when you lost your mama and you got shot by another man in the damn rap game and you making fun of it. It's the opposite of a lot of the things that she's fighting for as far as feminism. She is not extending that same grace to her counterpart. So it's just sad. It's actually sad. Because if somebody was doing this to her, can you imagine what she was doing? What she would say? Yeah, how she would be the man, victim. She
wouldn't even be happy.
She could play the victim. She could play the victim if she wants to. She'd be playing the victim, man.
But I'm going to keep it a stack, and it's an unpopular opinion. Fuck, just growing up, women has always been catty and petty to each other for no fucking reason. Like, going to school or around the hood, neighborhood. Oh, I don't like her. Why? And I ask her, why? It's just something about her. I don't like, man, man, you sound stupid as hell. What you don't like her for? Why don't you give her? Y'all know what I'm talking about, though, bro. Keep it a stack. Why don't you get to know her? You might like her. Like, I hate that shit. I hate people like that, bro. Give somebody a chance first, bro. Then if you don't like them, then that's cool. But man, stop being petty, bro. Especially if you want hip hop to stay healthy, bro. Because it's no reason why this shit should get violent. And we talking about somebody dead mama. It's a chance that it can get violent. I'm just saying. That's how I'm thinking. I don't know how Meg and Nikki's taking it.
I agree. Last thing I do want to say on it is, like, overall, my opinion right now, as far as the records go, only reason I'm going to say it's a draw is because Nicki's record, like we said, she's the bigger, better artist, in my opinion.
But she tweeted everything and said everything on IG Live right. Already. That's what took
to
the
me,
juice
that's
out.
What minimized it. I think if she doesn't do that, she wins. Because, yeah, I heard Meg's in person. I thought it was okay. Like I said, but I think what helped her is that she made, quote unquote, a better overall song. Whereas Nicki's, it was just more the barbs. You know what I mean? They just hit harder. But. Yeah, like I said, if there's a round two or three, hopefully we can see what this all came from. But overall, yeah, I just think, yeah, if there's nothing more than straight on wax, you can't be talking about people's dead mother.
Yeah, I mean, I just ignore.
I just really appreciate, like I said, the unorthodox flow that Nicki came with. And I believe she did that because of Megan sometimes uses repetitive flow. So I think she really wanted to show her repertoire. So I could appreciate that. But she didn't need to have those extra lines, man. Just cut all that super negativity out. You already dissing the girl. But you don't gotta go for the juggler like that. It's not really worth it.
Queens of hip hop, y'all get it together, man. We need y'all.
Yeah. And you're making yourself look bad. You losing deals for your damn self, man. People are going to look at this and be like, anyone that is supporting women or has a feminist agenda can't work with you now because you out here wishing death on people and talking about people dead mamas and laughing at them getting shot. Come on, man. That's just too much. Too much.
But yeah, fellas, want to move on to another celebrity who's been having some issues, quote unquote, but not with another star, Kanye West. And now this week, TMZ caught wind of Kanye West when he was walking, and a young woman who worked with him pretty much asked him about his wife, asking, hey, does Bianca have free will? Instead of answering, Kanye West went on a rant, telling her pretty much, this is disrespectful. I'm a father, and y'all didn't have too many questions to ask when I couldn't see my kids. Fast forward to the end of the story, he offers the young woman a job paying double what she's making. So, fellas, my question to you is, one, do you think Kanye was wrong for his, reaction? And two, what questions, if any, do you think are acceptable for the paparazzi to be asking these celebrities? Because, like Kanye said, they're people, too.
I don't want to hear that shit. You should go work a regular job. Man, celebrities, Lee Boy, please don't. I'm not talking about you, bro. Celebrities get on my fucking nerves, bro. Look, man, you signed the papers, my nigga. You wanted to be yay, Kanye, so whatever the fuck that was, you can go your ass back to Chicago and be nothing. That's what come with it, bro. And I understand as humans, we humans, bro, so we have emotions, good and bad. But, bro, you one of the most famous people in the world, bro. Nobody went here all that crying. And I don't mean to come off as insensitive. And if I'm paparazzi, bro, you snatch my phone and I'm smacking you, bro. You can't get mad at me from doing my job. I hate when athletes catch an attitude with the media. I always hated it. Bro, they doing their job. This is how they eat. Just because your ass shot 8 for 29, that ain't my fucking fault. It's my job to ask you what the fuck happened. You can't get mad at me for doing my job, bro. I don't understand. The paparazzi is annoying, bro, but they doing their job. That's how they eat. So I can ask you whatever the fuck I want to ask you. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, and he mentioned this is America. This is, well, she, if this is America, she has the freedom to ask you whatever the hell she wants. And exactly. Your answer should have been, yes. Does your wife have free will? Yes. And then you just keep moving. Like, why did it have to be this next level situation? Now the paparazzi can get annoying. I don't really find that this was that crazy or of annoying of a question. I think Kanye obviously lacks some self-awareness, because on the outside looking in, that is the question that people are asking. Are you forcing your wife to wear this ridiculous shit? Why is she half naked everywhere she go? This is exactly what you did to Kim. You're following a blueprint. So that is the overwhelming question that people have, and that's why the paparazzi asked it. Now, my second thing is, kind of just get your ass off the street, bro. Why are you walking down the street?
It was actually unfair for somebody was getting their Hollywood star. He was literally only there.
So he had to be on the street. Okay, I'll give him that. You got to be on the street for that one. I guess you still could have got dropped off a little bit closer, walked right up to it. There's always a way around this. Bro, put on them damn Yeezy pods and on your ears this time.
Take
the pods off your feet. Put them on your ears so you don't have to hear this bullshit, because there's no reason for you to not be able to control your emotions. Now, it just makes me question, though, is this just, I always say, is this some kind of publicity marketing? Because this is free promotion for Kanye, you know, rather than them having to pay for, a traditional publicist and promotion and marketing ads. He could just go yell at a paparazzi. This is about the third time he stole somebody's phone. Hopefully, he probably gonna get sued again. He's like, what's another million to a billionaire? Well, he ain't a billionaire no more. But at the time, he's like, I don't care. I'll snatch as many phones as I want to. But if just get a new play. Let's get a new move besides snatching the phone. Why don't you just answer the damn question and say yes? That's what I would.
Man, bro, that's why I didn't take my career stuff further in journalism, to be honest. When I was interning in Houston, bro, like, athletes got some, man, athletes, celebrities, whatever the fuck, they just got some bad attitudes. And I'm still, don't forget, bro, I'm still a nigga from the fucking hood, bro. You can't smash my phone out my head. You gonna come, it's two of them coming after that, bro. Now I'm fired. Because nigga didn't try me.
Who did that with you? I personally, because, I mean, no disrespect to that lady, but she looked like she was at least in her 60s, possibly, you know, your older
wife. That lady looked like
she was struggling, didn't she?
Yeah, she looked like she shouldn't have really been out there chasing Kanye. Like, y'all don't got nobody 10 years.
But bro, that's what make it worse. The old fucking lady, bro. You touching upon a whole
thing. Brent, I'll say this. You're just, and I'm not trying to defend him, but I'll say this. From his standpoint, I think the question obviously seems crazy, because I think Lebo, he knows what's going on, but I guess for him, it's just like, man, this is kind of disrespectful to ask, because it's like, what, I haven't touched her. He's looking like, I haven't touched her, shown any, ain't no weird marks on her. It's just, yeah, this lady's dressed crazy. And to your point, when you said he was doing the same thing with Kim, I saw Kim's everything before I ever knew she knew Kanye West, to be fair. So it's like, this lady had it all on the internet, you know what I mean, in 780p. So it's like, to me, I think some of the questioning is a little weird, but I think, again, because celebrity culture to me is low-key dying, because they can't really keep people interested because everybody think they're a star now, I think that's why they so, you know, hell-bent on somebody like Kanye. Definitely a publicity stunt, but to me, like Jamal said, you could easily just say no, answer the question.
Man.
But back up. I feel Kanye, like nobody's snatching my phone. It's not happening.
Kanye knew people. Keep your hands off people, though, man. That's crazy.
Kanye knew wife was like, if Kim Kardashian made a biopic, and they needed somebody to play Kim Kardashian, it'll be Kanye's new wife. He definitely got a taste.
Sure,
type or whatever the fuck.
And she was out there too. A lot of people have been mentioning, and I never really seen like her history, but they're saying that she has been getting naked on the internet too, not to the degree of Kim, obviously. She on another level. But she's had some pretty revealing pictures as well. So it's not out of place for her to be dressing like this. So I understand, yeah, it could be annoying, the line of questioning. But you got to have tougher skin as a celebrity. You know, he talking about he a superhero and you a white lady. That's why you think, bro, he has a whole agenda in his head that people are not, we're not on the same wavelength as you. So it's about time for him to step back, step into reality and realize that no one considers you the way you consider you, Kanye. So just answer the damn question or just shut the hell up. You already got the mask on. We don't even know if it's you. You can just keep moving, bro. We don't even, like, come on, man. He's just doing the most.
All you can just move back to the south side of Chicago and be a regular person, man.
No,
as always, that option ain't going to never go away, bro. That's to any celebrity, bro. Oh, bro, you can stop being famous if you want. That like that's an option. You ain't gonna never worry about how to go in the world, bro. Stop being famous. Go back to. I know he probably can't, but maybe somebody
somewhere else, not to Southside Chicago. Degree. He could go somewhere else though. Yeah, he can go to Maine and be all
yeah,
right.
Go He'll probably be chilling. Maine. Yeah, go South Dakota. Go duck off somewhere yeah, there, bro. Don't nobody bother you. Ask you questions. Yeah, man,
now the next level of this though is the police was out there. You guys saw that part of the clip too? When the police showed up, he's explaining to him why he snatched the phone.
It's briefly that, yeah.
It's like, bro, at that point, I would have already been gone. I don't even know why he didn't get arrested right there. You definitely confiscated the lady's phone. It's not yours. That's robbery, right? I believe you can get charged for something like that. So
you can't snatch nobody's phone, right?
Hell no. That's you know what? They actually will give you very high elevated charges for that because it has such sensitive information in there. It's not just the value of the phone, but also the value of your bank accounts and all this stuff is attached. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing them pile on when you could just take if you just take someone that lost their phone. You could actually get some higher charges, past the norm. So, I mean, obviously he had the celebrity pass, but Kanye, it's not worth it for you to be trying to explain yourself to police talking about, she asked me this. That's not a crime. That's not a crime.
That ain't enough, right? That ain't enough.
You had a different
put your
reality,
ass behind your back.
Yeah, they're going to look at you a little crazy, but yeah.
I would have arrested his ass just for the clout if I was that police.
We're going to see what comes out of it. But fellas, I want to move on to something. I feel like all of these topics are just so crazy. I'm trying to move on to something more positive, but it is what it is. Vince McMahon. Now, to those listening, Vince McMahon, big part of WWF, WWE, kind of big part of most of our childhoods, if you're listening to this. He has more allegations of rape and sexual assault, and as a result, he has stepped down from TKO, UFC, and everybody who owns that. But one thing that I think stood out, fellas, was the text messages. Very crazy. I just want to read a snippet from one of them, and I just want y'all to take to say, number one, do I think Vince McMahon is innocent or guilty? And two, do you think that WWE was wrong for staying with him? The one text he went on to tell Miss Grant, who was a woman that they had a threesome with afterwards, he texted her saying, your mouth, your pussy, and your ass all over me. You'll be coming. We'll make you eat it and taste everybody's. The next morning, you'll be a little sore, but you're still going to want more. There was more in the text, but because I'm a man of God, I'm not going to read the rest of it. But fellas,
wait, I didn't even get that text thread. I seen something else that was talking about showing the P-star that you are and all this, and he was kind of trafficking her to other employees. What happened to just escorts? What happened to just paying for the pee? Like, why do you need to get someone within your organization who you got a paper trail with, who is assigned to you, that you have dominion over it in the workplace? Why would you jeopardize your entire career and then also put it in the text message for all the evidence to be shown in court? I just don't understand this. And he ain't even from this generation. I just don't understand what people would be thinking in 2023, 2024. This is crazy, man. Like, And to be a billionaire and to think that you are somehow Teflon against all this? Come on, man. As soon as she's disgruntled, you didn't threaten her job? You tripping, bro. This is going to come out as soon as she is unhappy, and that's what happened, man.
Man, this hurts me to the core because I am a hardcore wrestling fan been since I was a kid. Still am to this day. So the fact that he has completely destroyed his legacy. It's sad, bro, because he the reason why wrestling has, if wrestling was ever popular, like it was in the late 90s, he's the reason for that. When you think of wrestling, you think of maybe Hulk Hogan, a couple other
Macho
wrestlers.
Man,
so, right.
Undertaker.
And you think of Vince McMahon. That's who you think of.
The only guy who doesn't fight who you think of that much. So yeah.
Right, bro. And like you said, man, you too rich for that, bro. You can, man, just pay for some ass, bro. You tripping, bro. You, man, you a freaky ass old man on top of that. I'm going to keep it a stack, bro. Then it's somebody who worked for you, bro. So they probably felt pressure. So this is all the assumption coming from me. I don't know the details.
But that's how the law looks at it. I just want to say that, the law you do stuff with an employee, that's even worse because they look like you had dominion over them. Like it's yeah.
No, and they said yeah. and they expressed that her job was in jeopardy if she didn't go through with some of the acts. So that was in some of the articles that I read. So
wicked
that he expressed yeah. that.
Yeah. Damn, Vince, bro, it's over, bro. WWE, man, they about to erase his history. Like, that's crazy, bro.
And we mentioned this. We were talking about the Michael Jackson doc. Go watch or listen to last week's pod. This is just the era of, you know, discovery and cancelization. You're going to get canceled out as soon as they find something. They're going to find it. If anything ever happened in the last 50 years, it's about to come out this year. You know what I'm saying? And you done. Your whole legacy is done. So if you can go back 40 years and wipe some shit out, you make sure you got make sure you go ahead and take care of that, because right now is not the time to have any of these outstanding allegations out there. Your entire legacy is in jeopardy. So, man, I mean, I can't say I feel bad for the guy. He definitely was putting this out there under his own will and was being reckless with it. Like, this is your employee, man. Go get you a girl. Go get you someone else, man. Go get you a girl.
Man, he married, bro.
But still,
how about just go your wife?
You're Vince McMahon. Like you said, he's married. But if I'm not mistaken, Vince McMahon was what, in his 50s probably when we was kids? Bro was diesel. Like, you was brolic. You probably about 6 foot something. You're a white man in America. It's like, you got a nice selection back in 1998 right. to kick through. And then even fast forward, because I know some of this happened like, you know, later 2018, 19. Even still, you're Vince McMahon. You mean to tell me you like, I don't want to put, you know, rumors out here, but I've heard a lot of stories about different parties and just different people and the way that they, what's the word I'm looking for? The way that they entertain. You know, you could go to their crib for a little meet, and the next thing you know, it's five prostitutes and they ask you, do you want two or three? So with that in mind, I just don't understand, because I just feel like, yeah, that energy of people feeling, you know, free sex and liberation and whatnot, it's been a thing since the 90s, and it's even more a thing now. So yeah, just everything about him and everything, even them text messages, this is wicked, bro. What are you talking about? Why are you telling this young woman she got a taste come and all this other, and y'all just dug out for hours? Bro, sent this
about 15 of y'all, man.
You done excavate and clean her out? Are you kidding me?
Go like, take your ass to Epstein Island somewhere, man. Why are you doing this shit at the office? God damn, man. You ain't got no billionaire friends? It's your billionaire ass. Come on, man.
I'm sure he's on a
crazy,
flight.
Bro. It's crazy, man.
What does Vince McMahon do in his spare time? Like, do Vince McMahon watch movies?
Get freaky like, as fuck, man.
Nah, but I'm thinking, like, now he got all this free time, what the fuck are you going to do? You going to go to the movies? Shit, I think he golf. Like, what right, do y'all golf, think he
massages,
fucking do?
Little stuff.
Oh, that's the problem. These rich people need fucking some hobbies, right? Some hobbies that are fulfilling to their lives, that right. give them enrichment, and they don't got to do this nasty degenerate shit, man. It's just, you know, I think it's just, the thing is, you can't even really say it's the sign of the times, because they've been doing it for years and years and years, but it's getting worse within the culture, the degenerate behavior, the over-sexualization of the world. Man, just go find you. I mean, you could go find you 2-3 chicks and bring them in the house. You saw what goddamn Hugh Hefner was doing. Ain't no reason to be doing shit like this, man, and putting yourself at risk, your entire career and legacy for some ass at the work. You didn't see Bill Clinton? You didn't see what happened to Clinton?
Well, so even I don't want to say four, but
it's like people not learning. It's like they not learning, bro. Everybody thinks they bigger than they can't be touched.
These people like, gonna tell, man. As soon as they get disgruntled, that ain't the move.
And these women.
And I heard he's supposed to pay her $3 million, and he only paid $1 million and disappeared. So I guess you're like, okay, you on? All right, I'm gonna wait till y'all sign that Netflix deal, and I'm gonna drop the news. So you should have gave the woman the other $2 million, man. You $2 million to a billionaire, bro? How you give her $1 million and disappear? Give her the $3 million. Give her $5 million.
Real talking.
He ain't learned from Diddy 2 weeks ago.
Man, I'm rich motherfuckers tight.
As he sent tight cash at Diddy was like, I got you. 2 minutes. I'm on the toilet right now, and it was set.
His problem is he shouldn't have got out to the public. once it got to the public, all the other girls that he did some wild shit to, like, oh, okay. He's settling in 2 minutes. I bet.
Yeah, he's settling in two minutes. He did it the right way. I just want to say that. Bro got away from the company.
Yeah.
Right now, he don't work for nobody and he's poor. That's what he's telling them when he go to court.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Did he settle too fast? You settled in 2 minutes? All right, bet. My turn. Slap.
He ain't even get time to look at it. Like, you was supposed to look at it, scratch your head, you know what I mean? Act like you had something changes. Bro was like, where do I sign? At the bottom two, initials in blood? Gotcha. But to Vince McMahon, the whole wrestling thing, I will say I think it's terrible, but yeah, don't let this die down. Yeah, to the new kids, you know, watching wrestling and whatnot. Like Jamal said, it was a big part of my life. I hope it still goes on. It's like, yeah, that was fantasy, and we knew certain things was fake. It's like, it's shocking that they was fake slapping and really.
Bro, they just signed a Netflix deal for, like, what, $5 billion?
Correct.
And a day later, that news came out.
And what is the connection? Sorry for my ignorance. What is the connection with them and the UFC?
Oh, all of that is under the same parent company, TKO, that he was
working with.
So he's basically the CEO of the UFC as well.
To a degree, I think in a management.
Where's Dana White? Dana White's relationship with that?
He's still with
UFC. TKO, I think, is the bigger umbrella company that WWE and UFC fall under.
So he likely bought the. He let Dana White stay as the CEO, and he is a part of the ownership group for the UFC, or he was.
Yeah, and The Rock is a part of it too.
He fucking up the business, dog. You messed up the business, dog.
Well, you bet. Yeah, he got, man, pick up a hobby, Vince. Go golfing. Go, I don't know what the fuck billionaires do, man. Go do something.
I don't want to say on here.
Yeah, they out on Epstein Island, man. They take
doing God. They doing all the stuff we not. Everything you just said to do, he looking like I've never heard of it.
Thoughts and prayers to Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr. Thoughts and prayers to the victim too, of course. 100%. This freaky ass old man can't find somebody. Look,
I definitely don't want a victim blame, but she was there for it, and she wanted her $3 million. You should have gave her that $3 million, man. That service is well rendered. You better write that off, man.
I want my $3 million too.
Yeah,
man. If I had to give my ass for $3 million.
She was cool with it until she didn't get her payment. She was cool. All
right, that first payment.
I got to respect the hustle, man.
Right.
Respect the hustle, dog. Thoughts and prayers to everybody involved, man.
We'll keep y'all updated on that as more comes out. But, fellas, finally something a little more positive. Jess Hilarious, we want to throw this out there. She officially joined the Breakfast Club, and this was interesting with us because we were just discussing, you know, we even thought the Breakfast Club would have a future. There was a post that she put up, and now I'm wondering if it was in jest where she said these niggas was trash, talking about Envy and Charlamagne in their comments. But then literally days later, it's a whole bunch, you know, a whole big fiasco, and I'm here. So, fellas, one, what do you think now with Jess Hilarious joining? And two, what's the future?
You know, I'm always got my conspiracy hat on, always got the tinfoil koofy. I believe that this was all kind of just to hype up the actual signage, because if she would have just signed, everybody would be like, okay, and they would have just, you know, continue to watch the videos at the same rate. But I believe with them making a whole kind of stink about it, is she going to get it? Is she going to get signed or not? Does she hate Envy? Does she hate Charlamagne? I mean, everyone was saying that she was already got this in the bag, and then it just turned out to happen. You would think if she were to speak out publicly like that in the 11th hour or the final hour that, you know, they would take it away. They would be like, come on, man, how you going this is, and we're about to give you, you know, an offer. So I really think that was just kind of to hype up the signing. I wouldn't put too much into it, but congratulations to Jess. I think she fits in decently. You know, I just don't think the Breakfast Club is going to have that resurgence. And I'm not sure. I don't think she's better than Angelique Yee. I don't think they'll ever be a real replacement. But I do think Jess Hilarious on her own in general, and just, you know, her talents, amazing. And she's a good fit for the team.
Yeah, all this shit roll out, man. All of it would roll out.
Roll out, yeah.
I definitely thought she was the one who should got the job. It wasn't even close to me. We were saying it a couple pods ago. Yeah, like you said, Lee Boy, I don't think it's going to ever be the same because you got too many different outlets. Like 2011, 2012, that probably was the only – I ain't going to say that. that and probably Vlad was the only two outlets you can go to get some, get your shit off, right? It's too many of them now. You got the JBP, you got Drink Champs, you got $1 million worth of game, you got a bunch of podcasts, including me on a podcast right now. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it'll ever be the same. It's just there's too many players now, but she definitely deserved to be the host with those two cats, man. I think she's going to be the wilder one now because Charlamagne is kind of matured. So mm-hmm. she's the youngest out of the group. She is the comedian. She's going to take that role of and pissing everybody off now. So I think great signing. You know what I'm saying? I'm a tune in. I fuck with Justin Larry. So.
I'm happy.
Congratulations.
I just want to throw this out there that while I'm definitely, like I said, I'm happy for, and I think it's a good, you know, plug in one. I'm curious to see what's going to happen if Envy is staying. And then two, my thing is, like to Jamal's point, with there being so many different platforms now, I feel like you have to do something to differentiate yourself. Like when I look at Drink Champs, I know that whether people like his interview style or not, Nori's going to give guys their flowers or girls their flowers. And it's pretty much a celebratory thing. Whereas the Breakfast Club, I feel like a lot of times, and hopefully this changes, they'll let guests come on there and pretty much run whatever they want to do, whether it's plug themselves in ways that they feel, you know, they're just getting off jokes, but there's really not any conversation or questions asked. So, yeah, that's my only thing. And I'm a big fan of the Breakfast Club, but that's, yeah, just within the last year or two, I can say the biggest feel is like, yeah, it feels like the guests come and make the show. Whereas, like you said, Charlamagne used to make the show. Envy used to make the show. And Angela Yee, shout out to her, because, yeah, like I said, Jess is respectfully not a journalist, so I think it's bad to compare the two, because Angela Yee really does this, and, you know, that's why she's syndicated. But, yeah, I just think it's going to be interesting, like I said, to see Envy stays and how they navigate actually interviewing and really putting their interview skills to the test, because there's a lot of people out here with shows, but everybody's not good interviewers. No shots.
Yeah, and they, like you said, they are running over Charlamagne in the last, especially these last couple of months, these politicians be coming in there with an agenda against Charlamagne. So hopefully Jess can come combat that a little bit, because she definitely got a mouthpiece on her.
Yeah, man. This show, bro, I used to be a huge fan of Breakfast Club too, bro. So everything not meant to last, man, I guess.
Nah, especially when you start, like I said, changing parts that don't make sense. Like, even like you see, I said, this could have been a rollout, but when I think of the lack of consistency and even the different guest hosts who done popped in here, it's like, they was cool, but you just look like, bro, it feels like you came here for a payday.
And yeah, that went on a little bit too long. I think, actually, I don't even think they needed to do that whole process. I think they lost a lot of steam, and like you said, the consistency wasn't there, and it was just such a random show. They weren't sticking to what we knew and what we loved as the show, which is interviewing guests and hearing about and asking them the tough questions. That part, we saw a bunch of arguing between politicians and Tesla and Figaro, and we saw a bunch of girls up there just trying to say something crazy to get some news and insult people, and there was no consistency there. So I'm happy that they did land somebody finally, and hopefully they can rebrand the show a little bit, you know, give us something, give us some good Jess got to have her own segment. She has the Jess with the Mess, right? So hopefully she can continue to flourish with that. And we could really see something pop off, because it's time for them to either get with it or get out.
Man, Apple Music has a show, I feel like, with all the potential in the world, but they're not consistent, right? It's when the people listen to this podcast, when they hear this podcast, it will be a Friday. This episode's going to drop on a Friday, but we record on Wednesdays. Apple Music has a show called Rap Life Review that is supposed to drop every Wednesday, and it's Wednesday, and it had dropped. And it's supposed to drop every Wednesday. It drops on a Thursday sometime. It's hosted by Ebro, Nadeska, and Low Key. I don't know. It's on Apple Music. No. I feel like that show has all the potential in the world if they would just stay consistent. Some weeks they don't drop at all, or some one co-host will be missing, or the other will be missing. I feel like I like the show because it's rap life, it's hip hop. I feel like that show can have all the potential in the world if they would just stay consistent. And Apple Music do a poor job of promoting it. I'm gonna keep it a stack because I follow Apple Music page, and I'm like, dog, promote the episode, dog, get that show drunk. I know it's not the only show, but I feel like that show could have potential if they just keep at it, because I'm a fan of it.
I'm happy you said that though. My thing is, to your point, is when, because a lot of things nowadays, I feel like you got to bring your brand. Like, I feel like there's people, and anybody listening to this, y'all can attest, some jobs y'all going to apply for and got nothing to do with branding and putting yourself, but you now have to brand yourself because jobs just don't care about you on paper. And I feel like it's the same when it comes to their show. Like, yeah, Apple Music has to do better at pushing and promoting, but you as the talent on the show, if you know that you're a brand and you're a notable household like an Ebro, yeah, push it. Like, there's no reason that shouldn't be on your story, like I said. Because
I will say this, though. Out of the three co-hosts, I feel like Ebro promotes it the most.
Good.
I feel like low key in the desk is promoted, but not as much as Ebro. Because Ebro, man, you got to use social media, dog. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck if you don't like being on it or not. It's a part of the culture. It's here to stay. It's a part of us now. So, man, use that shit, bro. That's what you – if you're not going to use it, what you got it for?
Good point.
What's the point of having it? Delete it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, boy. I mean, I think there's just a huge void out there. Hey, shout out to the 80s and 90s and 2000 vibe podcast. Maybe we can fill a void out there. There's definitely a void for, you know, a show like the way Everyday Struggle took over. You know what I'm saying? So I would love to see. I would love to see who's going to come up next. Because I even see, it feels like even Academics been dying down a little bit. It feel like, you know, it's Kaisenat all day. Him with 21 staff is going crazy. That shit was hilarious.
Right.
But shit like that is what's taking over, man. So it's a whole different
Club Shay Shay taking over.
yeah, you're right. I like Club Shay Shay, and I watch Nightcap almost every night after sports. So I'm loving both of his shows.
Right.
Definitely moving. Era's changing, fellas. But what I want to do is get into some other changes, because you could say they changing, but they really ain't. Eminem and Benzino. Now, to everybody listening,
oh my God,
we love the source. I want to start with that, and that's the only reason I should say we're really covering this. Benzino, for years, everybody knows he's had crazy beef with Eminem, and I believe it was Doomsday 2 was the track in question that Benzino decided to release this now infamous diss track called Rap Elvis. And people online, they clowned him. They said it definitely gave a 1989 vibe. They asked, you know, where's his cardboard box? Is he going to spin on his head halfway through? And
his boom box.
Fellas, there wasn't not one quotable in there. The track was extremely corny, but I respect the effort for, you know, because I'm sure he has fans out there. But I just want to know, one, fellas, do you think that Benzino and Eminem should even be having diss tracks, you know, towards each other? And two, if I'm Eminem, should I respond?
Man, wait, now,
okay. Go ahead.
Wait, just real quick before you go, Jamar. You said Benzino, he had two disses, right?
Yeah, two. I thought it was just Rap Elvis. What was the second one?
No, Rap Elvis is the second one. That one actually is decent. The first one was called like what was it called? The first one, is called Vulturious.
And that's when he
that one is the trash one. That one is trash. The second one, y'all go listen to Rap Elvis is actually decent. Vulturious is the one that you are. Vulturious, Vulture, I don't know. But go ahead, Jamar. So just wanted to clear that up.
Nah, I wanted to ask y'all, because y'all super pop fans too. Because apparently they have been beefing for over 20 years. What is the original beef about? Anybody
he
know?
He didn't give him five mics, I believe, in a source. I believe that's what it was. He refused to give him five mics, but he came out and basically said it's because he was a culture vulture and he was white. You know what I'm saying? So that's made Eminem upset, which, you know, maybe rightfully so, because at that time it meant everything to have five mics. Like when Eminem was doing it, it meant everything to get that five mics, and for him to be held back based on his race or, you know, based on their internal issues, is kind of fucked up. So
right.
I get it, but at the same time, to hold on to it all these years, and you know how trash Benzino is doing, you don't need to be holding on to that type of gripe.
I just don't understand. Like I said, my main thing about it is, regardless of what the beef is,
man, let this shit go.
He shouldn't have said nothing, because I feel like if he never said the things that he said about Eminem before, even back then, the Vulture and all, like if he would have just not gave him the five mics and just left it alone, it's one thing. But yeah, I feel like you low key antagonized that man. It was weird, because if you was actually, you know, a comparable rapper, it would have been like, oh, cool. But unfortunately, it's just not there. So it's like now, years later, now with things, you know, being where they are too, it's like, And I love some of his interviews too. Shout out to Benzino and the things he's, you know, said about Coi Leray in interviews. But it looks like, man, this is just a money grab. People's looking at this guy like, you just went on Instagram Live saying you asked to borrow money from your daughter. Now you here trying to beef in this track with Eminem.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a money grab because there is no other outlets for him right now. He's trying to get whatever clout he can off this. And he's also mentioning his daughter. It's almost like he is dissing Coi Leray in a way as well, especially on the first track. But like I said, fellas, y'all actually got to listen to the second track. Now, he's not getting on Eminem level. He is definitely not up there at all. But you can tell he got a ghostwriter. You can tell he got a ghostwriter for the second track because it is light years better.
Tell his ghostwriter to die.
He got some way better bars that are not his at all. Like, you could tell just the references of the first one.
Definitely not his bar, 100%. And they still
quoted. What he was talking about, you look like you look you got just for men. What did he say about
Quick fast, fellas. Name a fucking Benzino song.
That's not Benzino. Yeah, well,
name two.
That's Peter Guns, ain't it?
He claimed he produced it and he did. That's the only reason I give him that. That's the only song.
Oh, he ain't rapping on that.
Give me two.
Man, that Boston shit. He said something about Boston. I can't.
Honest, I think you just made that up. I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying
Me? Yeah. You right. I know. He said something about Boston in the track one of these times. I remember some.
Man.
That's all I got. I remember something. He came off. I remember his ass is off beat like hell. You listen to these tracks, that nigga be slipping and sliding like, and not in a good way. He ain't sliding on the track. He's slipping and falling off beat. The source?
I think he does, but the question is, what is the source, right? And is it even still called the source?
That's what he need to be focusing on. Updating that shit because that shit too iconic, and I'm gonna say it every week for it to just be a fucking website and an Instagram page. Do something with that shit. Turn that shit to a streaming service, a YouTube channel. Do something with that shit. Stop worrying about Eminem, dog. It's above your weight class.
Way above. There's no need. Like I feel like he could go at it with Soulja Boy and maybe move the needle.
Man, no, y'all couldn't name me two Benzino songs. So no, Soulja Boy.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm just saying for his sake, if I'm him, I would at least try to get somebody, you know, that the fans would be like, okay. Cause nobody says, oh, Soulja Boy is a great rapper. We just know the song's legendary. So it's one of those Benzino, based on what I heard, clearly isn't either. So I'm just trying to, you know, give him a fair matchup.
Man,
not a smart one.
Beef with Complex on Vibe magazine or something, dog.
That's smart. I like that.
As far as rapping,
listening to the disc that just dropped, though, I wrote down a couple lines. He said he was pissing in his lemonade stand, and he had some kind of like stands, like Eminem stand. I was like, okay, he did that. And he said something about when Eminem battled Marv One. I was like, okay, see that, I know he got a battle rapper. You could tell battle rap bars, right?
Yeah.
He went and hired a battle rapper. Y'all need to go listen to the rap Elvis. And then, but I loved Eminem, what had me down. I think the best line out of the whole thing was the opposite of a Benzino, a giraffe. Along with his no neck ass. Eminem said, what's the opposite of Benzino? A giraffe. That should let me
Eminem.
Yeah, you can't say nothing about Eminem as far as battling and dissing. Eminem got it. You can't. It's very hard for you to go up against Eminem in a diss unless your name is what's his name? GK UGK. What's his name? Machine Gun MGK. My bad.
He
really got it.
He was solid. He's
man,
was solid.
And nigga, Eminem say how I can go. I'm gonna go at something he don't have.
Can't go out his neck.
Leave Slim Shady alone, man. God,
what
damn.
He said, if he was doing jumping jacks, his hands couldn't touch. His arms so short or some shit.
Comedy. I was
he
like,
was doing a little jab. Don't. It's gonna be another one though, because of that proof line that he said that you didn't spin the block for proof. That was his only line from the Voturius or whatever that was halfway cutting. I believe Eminem will come back again because of Benzino. I'm telling y'all, listen to it's cool. This next one, the rap Elvis, is decent. You could tell that he definitely hired a battle rapper.
If I ever start rapping, I need a friend like you. You're definitely a rap.
I didn't say he was on beat though. You could tell when somebody else wrote his shit because he couldn't deliver a couple of lines. It's like, you know that you ain't deliver that shit right. The other ones, you could tell he punched it in perfect. It's like, okay, he did all right. Well, I'm telling you, that's not too bad. Not the second one. The first one, trash.
Benzino, sell us the source, bro.
I'm about to say, I'm not buying source. What you're selling right now. Sell us the source. I agree.
We'll show you how to flip that motherfucker.
Man, but speaking of Benzino, Coil Ray, man. I was going to say, talking about he looked like a dog. I wanted to move on to some other dogs. NFC, AFC, quick reaction, fellas.
First, man, this nigga Lamar Jackson. Hold on, bro. I hate to say it because I fuck with Lamar Jackson, bro. He had a Dak Prescott-ish type of fucking playoff game, bro. I sat there Sunday and watched both of those games from beginning to end, bro. This nigga refused to run. He didn't throw to Odell to the fourth fucking quarter, bro. The Ravens defense can't see the 3 fucking points the whole second half. Lamar saying you play like trash, bro. And you cost me some fucking money. And Detroit, dumbass coach, y'all up 24-7. Y'all let them come back. Cool, whatever. They the 49ers. These niggas down 27-24. And it's on the road. Instead of tying the game up and kicking a field goal, these niggas go for them fourth and nine, don't get it. The 49ers get the ball back and score. Instead of now they up by 10. So instead of when a Detroit do get the ball back and finally score, now they got to score and kick a fucking onside kick. Man, I was so fucking heated going to bed Sunday night. I ain't win no money, bro. And I should have. But no,
is it more about the money or the way they played? Which one is
better? Man, it's about the money, bro. It's
the money first.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Go ahead, dog.
Nah, it's unfortunate because I believe the coaches got it in the way on both of these games. Dan Campbell, you're a fucking idiot. I mean, he's the reason why they lost to the Cowboys as well. We shouldn't have won that game against the Cowboys. They tried to do the whole flag thing and ineligible man downfield because all your fucking dumbass decisions. Now you went out on fourth twice. Now game, there's a huge clock management aspect to football. If you're up three scores, how you got to stop the team three times and score three times. And for you to not take the points when you could have been up by three scores, been up by 17, was already criminal. And then for you not to tie the game in the fourth quarter, nigga, what are you trying to win,
bro?
I've never heard of
that. You got to score to win, man. What are you doing? You don't want to score? So you're going to put the entire season on the line on this one play. You guys have played 19 games at this point. You're going to put the entire season on this one game when you can – stretch it out and have these last 7 minutes to determine the game and do everything in your favor. And then you can run the ball because you guys are tied. If you're giving them the ball right back with good field access, or what am I trying to say? Good field position, my bad. You got good field position. Imagine if you get the field goal off and then you kicking it off, you can get your defense set. And you're just killing the morale of the team. So, Dan Campbell, you're just an idiot. And then as far as, the Ravens, I don't put it as much on Lamar Jackson. They only had 6 design runs. I believe they rushed 16 times or something like that. But they typically run like 32 times a game. And they're the number one rushing team in the NFL, including Lamar Jackson. So, at some point, they just said, we just not going to run. Even though they was only down, 7 points? y'all tripping. You cannot win a game against Patrick Mahomes trying to throw that rock around. You don't throw the pill like Mahomes, man. So I think really a lot of it was coaching and some unfortunate stuff by Zay Flowers. He, fumbled at the fucking 1 yard line and everything. But that's the way I called it. I said if Debo play, San Francisco gonna win, even though they shouldn't have. It should have been the Lions. And I said Jahmyr Gibbs had a chance to take over this game, which he did. They just fucked it all up. And then Mahomes is Mahomes.
But bro, the Ravens, son. I have never seen a team who got the best kicker in the fucking world, but never use them. They never use them, bro. I think they go for it more than any team in the league. Detroit, bro, y'all kicked the field goal tie the game up. If the 49ers score, okay. It's still a one possession game instead of going down by 10. Bro, this shit rigged, bro. This shit is rigged. It gotta be. It gotta be, dog.
And both of those teams are – go ahead.
I was just going to say, because Jamal, you said Lamar played like Dak Prescott. I disagree. When I really look back at that, I'm happy you said that about Zay Flowers. There was no reason for him to dive like that and fumble that football. That's number one. Number two, the Chiefs did not score the entire second half, so people can say what they want.
But Matt, Lamar fumbled and he threw a red zone interception.
I'm happy you said that.
That interception was bad.
The interception was bad, but I think even still, like, it's one of those things where the Kansas City Chiefs didn't score the entire second half, so we can't just say it was Lamar. There was too many more opportunities for other people on that team to make plays, in my opinion, that second half, who just didn't.
But his defense held up.
Both teams' defense held up. That's what I'm saying. The defenses, they zeroed each other out, you might as well say, right? On both sides. Second half, defense is neutralized. The offenses, realistically, it wasn't like Mahomes was great, and it wasn't like Lamar was terrible. And the same, you know, when you flip sides, because remember, it was 24-0 at halftime, you know, with 49ers. I feel like, yeah, you look at the same thing. And the Lions, I feel like, honestly, they bit off more they could chew, and they just kind of thought, hey, we could do it. But what pissed me off most with Dan Campbell, and I'm going to let y'all go, is he had nerve afterwards to talk about some, yeah, fellas, I think that was our last shot. What type of shit is that to say after we just get here for the first time in 30 years, and you call, nah, bro, we don't want to score. We don't want to field goal. We just going to try to score. Oh, we missed. Guess it's our last try.
Yeah, man. Now I would compare Lamar Jackson to Dak in this case, because he had two turnovers. The interception was just inexcusable. The fumble is unlike him, which is something that Dak does. He performs unlike his own self in the playoffs. And then for him to only put up 10 points is just inexcusable. I mean, at least Dak, he put up 32 now. He put up some offense. He fucked up early, but he put up some points, even though it was in garbage time. You can't put up more than one touchdown.
One of the best defenses in the league all year, though. This matchup was two of the top defenses all season.
Man, what did he do to the Niners, though? He put up 42 on the Niners, something like that.
Hey. It was just this week. Like Mahomes and them was hot. They was already used to playing on the road.
He has a bad habit of not looking for Odell, bro. He has a bad. The whole game, I'm like, bro, have you even looked number three way at all, bro? He did in the fourth quarter. Y'all down by 10. Nah, clock ticking. Nah, bro. My nigga. Yeah, but look, bro,
I'm still mostly putting the blame on the coach, though, because for them to abandon the run being down, 7 points, and then they stopped the Chiefs so many times in the second half, held them to 3 points. They should have been running that the hell out of that ball. Now, maybe the Chiefs are stopping them, but they only had 6 designed runs. I believe they rushed it 16 times because he was scrambling. But to only have 6 designed runs for the number one rushing team is just criminal. Same thing for the Lions, though, too. They ran the hell out of the ball in the first half. Second half, they decided to throw the ball. What are you guys doing? There's a huge element to time clock management, and that's really, you know, that really comes into play for the Lions. But, you know, the Ravens had all the time in the world to run as well. They were playing, they're throwing the ball like they were down 2-3 scores, and it just doesn't make sense. Don't make any sense.
Shout out to the people in Detroit, man. Y'all ain't deserve to watch that, man. Y'all did not deserve to watch that, bro. I felt bad for him, bro. Yeah, damn. Fuck my little $3,000.
If the Cowboys would have went out, now I would have felt worse, I believe, with that type of loss. Being up 27-10 or something like that, it go to 24-7. Yeah, to go to the Super Bowl, and then we just let it. Just piss the bed, just wet the bed and let them take it. I'd rather we just knock us out in the first round. I ain't trying to see that bullshit. To be up 20 and lose, goddamn.
Yeah, that hurt.
I just think for them next season, yeah, realistically, that comment though, Dan Campbell, you got to come in with some new renewed energy, bro. Come, you can't tell these men, oh, this is probably going to be our last shot. They just got here. First time in 30 years. Like, this is insane. I'm like, yeah, that's bad coaching. I just think it's bad, but we'll get to it soon, but I just think, yeah, realistically, if I'm the 49ers, I'm hoping I can rest up and, you know, get to it, but this Super Bowl is going to be incredible. It's going to be a dope game.
Do we have any early picks, right, or are we going to wait till next week?
Let's wait till next week.
I'm going to wait.
We actually said our picks, but that shit is all fucked up now. Look, my picks is good. My picks is good right now. But you know what? I really thought the Lions had a chance. I said without Debo, and it shows they really did have a chance, Debo or not. And they just, a lot of this game is coaching, man. A lot of this game is coaching, which is why the Cowboys, y'all, you know, I'm always going to think about my boys. Y'all going to have to get up out of the coaching situation y'all in, and, you know, get some real fire in that locker room, because you got to have somebody to lead these teams to victory. These players can't do it on their own. Lamar can't do it by himself.
See, I think you're right. I think he definitely can't, but I think time will tell. I think they're going to be right back. And if I'm Lamar, I will say this. This is a great season because you just bet on yourself. And, I mean, besides Patrick Mahomes, there's no other quarterback that can say they had a better season than you, and you're going to probably be MVP. So, shout out to him.
Man, I know that. Fuck that. You play hard. Fuck all that.
If y'all
nah, you mad because you lost that money, bro. He lost.
I'm about to say, can we cash app him?
Hey, the money that was lost over this weekend, because if you bet against for the Lions, right, to cover, you lost that too, I believe. I'm not sure.
Yes, they did not cover. Yeah, you're after.
They didn't cover, and then the Ravens just to lose that way against the Chiefs. This is the down year for the Chiefs. If you're going to beat them in any year, this is the year. So, I you know, this could have been a huge play, a huge Vegas play, because the NFL and the betting partners made a lot of money, man. I'm sure.
Somebody had me laughing. They said the NFL didn't want a bunch of Baltimore and Detroit niggas shooting dice in Vegas.
That part.
I can see it. So, Jamal, you might be on to something.
And them Swifties, don't forget, that's bringing in ratings, baby.
Man, they said she brought in $330 million to the league since the first game. So, it's like, I'm not saying
swag it's... Swag surf, look, just swag man. Surfing, 330.
Taylor Swift is good for their bottom line. They made sure she was going to be here.
She done got that lady a whole endorsement deal as far as that gear, whatever, what kind of Velcro puff jacket she had on and shit. Like, black women, they said black women been doing this shit for 20 years. She customized one jersey and made $1 million deal. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Too funny. But yeah, fellas, we're going to see. But I do want to get into this last topic, fellas, about relationships. And I think this is important, especially with us being a nostalgic brand. Everybody remembers the infamous Family Matters and Laura and Urkel. We saw, you know, their whole thing going on. And obviously, you into Myra. So, fellas, my question for you is, do you think Steve chose the right girl, ultimately? And if you don't, why?
Fuck no, Steve didn't choose the right girl. He didn't choose the right girl. How you been chasing the girl since y'all was like six, bro? She done dated other niggas in your face. She probably done kissed other dudes in your face, then dogged your ass. It was a shame to say she know you. Probably done fucked some niggas in the same house as you.
Hey, I didn't see that on the show.
But man, I'm telling you, she did that shit, bro. Then when you gotta get no, you gotta make a fucking machine and turn it to and change the DNA, turn it to a whole different dude for her to actually like you, son. She Laura was shallow. I don't know who worse, Laura or Moesha.
Definitely Moesha. That's,
she was a horrible friend, bro. Definitely. I swear to God. So, but you meet Myra, y'all have the same interests. She's gorgeous. She accepts you for you. Fellas, take that show for example. Don't be Steve, bro. Don't be a nigga like Steve, because I know a bunch of niggas like Steve, bro. She didn't start liking you until you about to be this big rocket science for NASA. You Stefan now. So you about to get that bag. So now all of a sudden she got feelings for you 30 niggas later, 30 dicks later. Man, fuck no. He made Steve Urkel made a horrible decision, and I hope he's suffering for it to this day. I hope she giving his ass hell. Because you deserve it.
That's a reboot right there. I second your opinion. And then you dropped a gem there. Fellas, like who like you. You gotta learn to like who. You can't make nobody like you. In fact, you need to choose someone that like you more than you like them, because these women out here will run all over your ass if you out here behind them simping and trying to take care of them and do whatever they need. Fellas, take my advice. Like who likes you. Learn to love them. Learn to love them, goddamn, because they love your ass, and one day you're going to need it when you really down bad. You're going to see. Because if she didn't like you in the beginning, she's going to like somebody else that she was originally liking anyway, right? She ain't never chose Steve. She was choosing up on
that Stephon. That might be the name of this episode, man. Like who like you.
Like that's who like facts. It's a smart move. It'll make your life a little bit easier. You know what
and
I'm saying?
I want to throw this out too. With even like you said, liking who you like, who likes you. If you're Laura and or any girl out there, if you're in the Steve situation, make these women bring something to the table, because yeah, it's one thing for you to like a woman or like a girl, and that's cool. But when you're Steve and you start to get to, like Jamar said, you about to have nasty, I mean, your back pocket and whatnot, make that woman bring something to the table. I just feel like Steve, you didn't make her, you really was about to just give up yourself. Like, I feel like everything.
Bro, he changed his whole fucking DNA so this woman could
she
like
don't even
him,
like
bro.
You. Yeah, she don't even like
yeah.
You.
She don't even know what she like, because what she like is a created thing. It's not even real.
She dated like 40 niggas.
She did.
Jamar was counting.
She was getting more play than Eddie, low key. The whole series. We don't talk about
man,
it.
Man, when Mara came in with harmonica. What you call that shit that Steve was playing? Not harmonica. That big
accordion.
Piano shit.
Accordion.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, the accordion. Oh, yeah.
Bro, when she pulled out hers, I was like, oh man, there you go, Steve. God made her specifically for you, bro. And you see how niggas do? Niggas don't think with their brains, bro. Like, God, like, bro. I made her for you. And you ignore it. I hope Laura giving that nigga all. I hope she took all his retirement money. You ain't got shit. Your ass stupid. Stupid nigga. And I know a bunch of stupid niggas like Steve. That's why bro. Like Lee Boy and Matt said, like who like you, bro. Mara, he should have been. If he would have married Mara, they would have been happily married to this day, grown kids, living the like plan A accordions, you know what I'm saying, on the island somewhere. But you chose
good
the
old
girl.
Myra Monkhouse. And obviously, rest in peace to Michelle Thomas. She was watching.
Right.
Giving a little exactly. Janelle Monáe vibes or something. She was righteous exactly. In the 90s. Ain't no way out. I personally. Old. If you put them two next to each other, I'm sorry. I'm going with Michelle Thomas. That's just
nah.
Me.
Yeah. I like Laura's sexy too, but I just don't like her attitude.
100%.
I'm big on attitude.
It was, obviously they was, you know, it was a nice, they was both great looking women, but you know, everybody right. Got their taste. I'm going with Myra Monkhouse, god damn it. She was doing the damn thing, a little petite thing, playing the accordion with a sweet little voice, singing and all that. I would have went with Myra. But now in the show though, now didn't Stephon also he proposed to Laura, right? And she had to turn down the proposal and go to Steve or something like that.
Why?
It was like,
why? But why she turned it down? Because all of a sudden, after 40 years, I think I love Steve. Man,
nah,
man.
You got another nigga proposing to you. That you know, it's just too much history. And the thing is, it's low key me. So you don't even you in love with a virtual creature. This is wild, and there ain't no way. Ain't no way he should have left her ass at
I won't say that Laura proved though Jamar's point, right? Because Laura fell in love with something that actually quote unquote she thought she liked, because she felt like, oh, this guy's like me. Whereas yeah, Steve, yeah, Myra was everything just like you. It's like as smart as he was, it never clicked.
Man, like who like you, man. I would have I'm the type of dude, bro. I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm this player, this Mac. I am not. But I'm telling you, my nigga, I don't care how pretty the girl is, how bad she is.
Keep going.
What happened to Mac? Nah, but nah, I don't know. I don't care how pretty the girl is, how bad the girl is, dog. When she fucking annoying, you gonna look past that shit, dog. I'm telling you, you not gonna care how she look, bro. When she got a bad attitude, she's annoying. I'm telling you, you're not gonna give a fuck how pretty she is. You gonna be like, oh man, you gotta go.
Or is she comparing you to other dudes and throwing other dudes in your face right. and bringing them around? Hey, that's a red flag. That's a bright red flag, an orange flag, whatever flag that you need to see, a yellow flag, a flag on a play, flagrant foul, all that shit. You don't bring no other dudes around and expect me to just keep chasing. Fellas, let them, once they show you who they is, you better believe them, all right? And go get you a Myra, Miss Monkhouse.
Get you a Mara, man. Find you a Mara in a world full of Lauras.
Right.
Straight like that. Right. Because ain't no way. Ain't no fucking way, bro. I'm dogging her. We don't even gotta be friends no more. I'm gonna keep it a thought while with you. I hate niggas like that, and I don't feel bad for niggas like that after they make poor decisions and they go left. Oh well, nigga, my life is over. Yeah, it is. You right, bro. It might be over, son. I don't know what you're expecting me to tell you. It's going to get better. No, it ain't. No, it's not, bro. You made a bad decision.
That's like Jalen Green. Sometimes the lesson right now in life. I was going to say, that's Jalen Green right now with Adrea. Like, bro, what are you? I know you got a high school sweetheart or somebody that really love you for you. You going to really just, have a baby with Drea.
Call him, make a soft ass, man. Call him, make a soft ass.
Yeah,
man, sometimes the lesson in life is you stupid and you make bad decisions. Sometimes that's the lesson. The lesson of you ain't go through that shit because you had to learn something. No, nigga, what you had to learn is you stupid and you make bad decisions. That was the lesson was. And if you do it again, guess what's gonna happen again, my nigga. It's going to happen. You're going to make a bad decision again. It's going to keep happening until you become bitter. Now you mad at everybody because you're bad at choosing women. So, man, choose Myra in the world of Lauras, man. Like who like, they said.
Mm-hmm.
That's simple.
Straight like that. Man, what, bro? This one about anything else? This one about fast, huh, bro?
We was moving today. Hey, we had a hell of a
time go by fast, bro. Wow.
It was some good content. We thought it was a slow week, but when you got goddamn Nicki, Kanye, Vince McMahon, Just Hilarious, Eminem and Zeno, and then what happened in the NFC game, man, it's a lot of energy in this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please tell somebody about the goddamn 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibes podcast, because we moving out here. 2024, our year. We just need y'all to participate and get it going. Let's go.
Hey, man, let the people know all y'all socials, which I got coming up, all that good stuff.
Yeah, LeeBoyTV.com, LeonFryerson.com, at LeeBoyTV on all socials. Also follow The SplatCon, visit SplatCon.com. Let us know who you would want to see at an all-Nickelodeon convention. We are planning something for fall 2024 in the Southern California area, so we'd appreciate any type of feedback there. Once again, SplatCon.com.
Exactly. Like you said, real Matt Corbin. Y'all can follow me as usual on all platforms, daily videos on the Instagram, YouTube, and whatnot. I think, like I said, I'm posting super new hot content. Man, maybe not hot. It's like fresh piss. It's like lukewarm. It's getting there. But follow SplatCon. Definitely, like I said, we got a lot of dope stuff coming for y'all. And just stay tuned. 80s, 90s, 2005, the network, because it ain't just us. We got a bunch coming.
Certainly. Hey man, follow me on Instagram at Jamar Joseph Jermaine Adams. If you're sensitive, don't follow me. But follow us on Instagram at 80s90s2005. Same on TikTok, same on Threads. Subscribe to us on YouTube, man. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get that jump, we're trying to get that network popping. You know what I'm saying? Thank y'all for tuning in. If y'all still listening, we appreciate y'all. I appreciate these two gentlemen on this Zoom call with me. You know what I'm saying? Always appreciate it.
Right now.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is 80s, 90s, 2005, the podcast. I am Jamal.
I am Leon Leeboy Frierson.
Matt Corbin.
And we out.
Peace.